Welcome, everyone. My name is Joseph Reyes. I'm a chairperson for the Shack. I'd like to welcome everyone for attending the meeting today, spending some time with us. Start with the agenda here.
Can we go around?
Do a brief introduction?
Yes, so I'll have the names here for the secretary. And talk loud.
I'm a parent of some students. I've got one in the high school, one in the junior high left. That's kids come through the school system very successfully. So, okay. And I've been on the Shack for a while.
Okay, so that was Mr. Reyes, Joseph Reyes.
My name is Deanne Purcell. I'm a teacher at the junior high school.
My name is Savannah Bledsoe, and I'm the district social worker.
Linda Bargansky, Associate Superintendent of Student Services.
I'm Veronica Villarreal. I'm the counselor at the elementary.
Yehida Baker. I'm a teacher at the junior high.
Sandra Martinez, a case manager with communities and schools.
Amanda Rodriguez with the Oasis Center for Mental Health and Intellectual Disabilities.
Brandy Venable, teacher here at the high school.
Misty Romo, COVID coordinator.
Emma Harrington, 11th grade student.
Allison Brady, parent. I have intermediate child and junior high and high school.
I'm Shauna Fuller, and I have two at the junior high and one at the high school. One son.
I'm Kristen LaBong, and I'm one of the nurses here. I'm at the ECC.
Very good.
I have one little thing I need to tell you, Mr. Reyes, and that is we're going to do the third bullet right after the fitness gram, okay? We're going to flip-flop those two.
Oh, okay. Very good. We'll go ahead and start with Ms. Baker with the fitness gram.
Yes, sorry. Fitness gram, we have just finished up. We are entering data right now. We will have that in by Friday to Dr. Bargansky. Students have done well. Haven't seen a big difference from years before, like pre-COVID up to now. It's about the same with the tests that we are doing. We do the PACER test, which is the cardiorespiratory endurance, measures that flexibility, sit-ups, push-ups for muscular strength, but all of things are very similar to what they were pre-COVID. So, yeah, haven't seen much of a difference with that.
And I'd just like to do a little shout out to Intermediate. Do we have an Intermediate campus here? We don't. Okay, I'm shouting out to them so you can just let them. They already sent me their data today, so I was excited, so I can upload that. So Intermediates is in. Okay.
Good to know.
Thank
you. We'll go to the third bullet here. The second step, additional information was requested from their previous presentation.
Yep. And I'm going to move right up here so I can get Tyler going. He's on the screen.
So we have Tyler.
Now, remember, he
Morrison. Tyler Morrison?
Yes. Remember, he presented the last time we met, and at the end, you guys said you wanted a little bit more information, so that's why we invited him back. He can't see us. He can just hear us. And you're going to have to talk real loud because the microphone is right here. If you have any questions. Tyler, can you hear us?
Yep, gotcha.
Okay. I was just explaining to the committee that you presented a couple of months ago and they had some questions and wanted to just come back and ask you any questions that were on their mind. And so I know you can't see them, but we have probably about 15 or so people around a table. And we'll start off with anyone that wanted to ask him any questions. Nobody wanted to
ask? Can I get a brief summary?
Sure.
Because I missed that.
Okay. We have someone here that said if you could just do a quick overview because he wasn't here to hear the presentation the last time. So just a 5-minute overview.
Yeah, absolutely. This program that you're interested in is called Second Step. So it focuses on SEL, so social emotional skills. There's kind of five domains that we stick to that we kind of use to design the program. It's kind of teaching students self-awareness, self-management, responsible decision-making, relationship skills, and social awareness, kind of the foundational skills that we use to build the program. So the program is designed to be taught kind of as a tier one instruction for kindergarten through eighth grade. Teach kind of all the skills that students need for them to be successful in the classroom and beyond the classroom, of course, as well. And so I'll share my screen here just to give you an idea of kind of what the program looks like and kind of what the units and lessons look like as well. Feel free to cut me off if you have any questions. It's totally fine. But give you just a quick idea of what we're talking about here. So ultimately, this is what the dashboard looks like. So you buy site licenses. Basically, each school would build their own, would buy their own license. And then anyone in the school can have access to all of these lessons. And a big thing about this is we fully understand that teachers and counselors are very busy people. They have high demand jobs. I was a teacher for 5 years before this myself. So one of the biggest things we try to do with this program is make it as easy as possible to implement in any classroom with a minimum amount of prep from the teacher, while still being able to kind of maximize the benefits of the program and that skill transfer I talked about. So we do that by having everything integrated into this dashboard you see here. So one of the lessons I was going to show today, if you're interested or need it, was this in grade 5 right now. So four units. So the first unit, it contains 5 lessons. So there's 20 lessons in total for the year. The first one is growth mindset and goal setting. That's important. It's consistent across grade levels. Because that's an important part of kind of being a student, having those understanding growth mindset and being able to set good goals so they're actionable, kind of work on throughout the school year, throughout the weeks, whatever it is. The next unit is emotion management. Having students be able to kind of understand their own emotions. Also have teaching them some strategies to be able to regulate those emotions, to kind of fit into like a classroom environment, to kind of modulate those as they go through life. The third one is empathy and kindness. That unit is really all about kind of using everything you learned about your own emotions and applying that to others and being kind to others. And then unit 4 is all about problem solving. So developing some problem solving strategies, which kind of get more and more advanced as students go from kindergarten up through eighth grade. I think I'll stop there, probably a little bit short of 5 minutes, hopefully. Let me know if you have any questions.
Okay, I have questions because I haven't been able to find out the answers to this. I'm seeing a really good overview of, kind of what your framework is, but I'm not seeing content. And I'm mostly concerned about content because on the Second Step website, you specifically say, it specifically states, we're committed to addressing racial injustice and helping you drive real change in your school communities. These extra resources that are listed here will help the schools implement social-emotional learning in a way that builds students' cultural assets, critically examines systems of power, and develops better ways of teaching and learning and being. All of these resources are in here that are geared towards anti-racism, race and culture, culturally responsive teaching, learning for justice, are sponsored and brought by the Committee for Children, which is the group that sponsors Second Step. So I'd like for you to address some of the anti-racism and anti-bias focus that you have in your program, because I'm just not seeing that.
Yeah, so and the reason you're not seeing it in our kind of the core program itself is it really is, it isn't at all in the core, so these Second Step lessons themselves. All that stuff kind of for the Committee for Children, the broader organization, that's more, those are all alignments and like extra materials that teachers that they'd like or schools that they'd like can utilize to kind of bring in some of those anti-racism resources in to kind of partner up with the Second Step program. There isn't anything in the program itself. There isn't any of that material integrated in the program itself.
Okay, I'm still a little bit confused by that because when I go to Committee for Children, it says there's an article in the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion that says advocating for a more just and peaceful world, which sounds really great. We all want a more peaceful world. I think we can agree on that. What I find, though, is the very first statement says, at Committee for Children, we believe that social-emotional learning is fundamental to achieving social justice. We are dedicated to advancing diversity, equity, and inclusion, to becoming an anti-racist organization,
Are you telling me that this political stuff doesn't filter into the second step content? And how can you assure us of that?
Yeah, I can definitely say it does not trickle into the content itself. How can I assure it? I'm trying to think of how that would work. Without your full, so it's probably up to the district itself to some degree. I can definitely set up a free trial so you kind of go through the content yourself to make sure that there's nothing that you find problematic or troubling with there. Also, one thing I'll mention is we are very responsive to schools that we have across the country, kind of some of the concerns that they've raised. For example, there is one in the middle schools, so the seventh grade, there's a video. It's just talking about the general world, what it means to be a seventh grader, what it means to be a sixth grader. There's one image of like a Black Lives Matter sign, for example, as part of like a protest. That's something we've removed now because that wasn't the focus of the lesson. We never understood why folks found that kind of troubling or problematic. So we have really tried our best to listen to districts and stakeholders across the country trying to address any of those issues. Because you're right, I mean, especially if you're designing, if you think about the broader organization, we have this more social justice bent towards us. You know, it's possible that some things trickle down, but in terms of we do try our best to make sure that it doesn't get into the core of the program, because that's not what we're going for here. We've been doing this for a long time. You know, 70s are really our focus is on these SEL skills. And there is kind of a broader mission from the organization, which is kind of a separate thing from the program, this particular program. I know that's probably not super helpful or useful.
So what you're saying is the broader focus of the organization isn't actually guiding the SEL that is developed?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm a counselor here for the district, and here's the deal. Social injustice is brought up in the cheeks for that we need to be addressed. And so any kind of curriculum that we find, something's going to be, it needs to be discussed, social injustice does. So, or at least we need to be aware of it. So whether it's second step, project positivity, or it's counselors pulling things, that, which is what we have been doing, we need to find a curriculum that is legal in the state of Texas that has, that we're actually covering the TEKS. And as of right now, we don't. So we're not going to find a curriculum that doesn't address social injustice in some way at all.
Yeah, sure, I understand that. But I think some are going to be more, that's going to be more their focus of their mission.
But that's not, he's saying that's not. I mean, yeah, he said everything towards that is not, you know.
So are you saying that Positivity Project doesn't?
No, I don't know. I haven't watched. I'm just saying any, if we have to by law, as one of our TEKS, our social, or our SEL components, that it has to be addressed. So
sure,
anything we bring to the board is going to have that
right
content that has to.
Is Positivity Project currently being implemented in the district?
It is,
yeah. On certain campuses, not on all.
But only a piece of it. Not the lessons, just a little piece that Dr. Youngberg does and whatever Dr. Alvarado does.
And we do it at the junior high.
In the junior high. In our campuses, in Veronica and I's campuses, we don't use the lessons. We didn't realize that piece was available recently.
And are they talking about Positivity Project? Do we have any questions?
Yeah.
Any more questions?
Is it possible to see a video again, just to look at it for ourselves, or for
them
to play a video?
It's hard to see the content.
Did you hear that, Tyler?
Parts of it.
I had a counselor, the elementary counselor, let him know if she could see a video.
Yeah. So I can show you kind of anything you'd like to see in the. I'd be happy to show you kind of the videos. You want to see a video from the actual program itself, like one of the presentations?
Something we would show the students.
She said something that she would show students.
Perfect. Yeah, absolutely. I would like to have one pulled up here. That's okay with y'all. And one thing to keep in mind in terms of the program, all of this is still filtered through, you know, teachers and schools themselves. It's designed to be directly facilitated live in the classroom. You know, students aren't logging in themselves. They aren't exploring these lessons without it. It is definitely have a teacher that's going to read all the lessons and be there directly presenting the material. Just wanted to throw that out there. That can be a concern for some folks. Concept that you all don't agree with there. But let me show you just a presentation. I will my screen here and show you a fifth grade lesson. This is on empathy and kindness. Let me share sound.
If possible, could we also see one on social justice, because that was a point of contention?
Did you hear what she said?
Social justice. Yeah, we don't have any lessons on social justice itself.
Okay.
But let me find one.
How about racism?
A question was asked, do you have one on racism?
We don't have a lesson on racism. The closest we're going to get to in the middle school is we do have a bullying and harassment unit. So we can talk about protected groups within that that are protected under harassment laws. So let me see if I can pull up something about that. Here, and I will share my screen so you can see all the lessons that I'm scrolling through. Okay, so hopefully you can all see that. This is our sixth grade recognizing bullying and harassment unit. So I don't know if any of these would be good to be recognizing bullying, might be, I'm going to start with. So again, we draw the presentation. There's a scripting that the teacher would use to kind of go through this presentation. So the warm-up, I guess, constantly joking about Jaren. Everyone laughs, including Jaren. So you think Micah's trying to hurt, purpose? Do you think the joke's actually hurt Jaren's feelings? A big part of that is kind of about recognizing exactly what bullying is. So saying one thing, there's like a clear definition of what bullying is, and students kind of know what that is, so they can know what to report. But I'll play the video for you all.
Bullying was difficult for me because I didn't know how to process it. I didn't know who to go to. I didn't know what to do. So I would result into bad thoughts and bad actions.
I talked to him about why it's taken him so long to tell somebody. And he said because he didn't know how, and he was scared that if he told somebody, he's gonna get bullied more.
She tried to ignore him, and that didn't work. It got to the point where she didn't want to attend class anymore because she just didn't want to face him.
I was almost like scared to go to school because I felt like if this kept going on, my friends wouldn't think I was cool anymore, and I was scared of being ostracized by my peers.
All right, one video, and we have a class discussion about it. Another video on this one. So bullying and joking around, because there's definitions of bullying we talk about, because we're kind of a sustained effort against the students, and kind of what those procedures should be, to report that to a trusted adult. So that's one video. Unit 3, thoughts, emotions, and decisions. This gets pretty into the brain, kind of what goes through brains, and make decisions, and kind of what we can use with that. Unit 4 is managing relationships and social conflict. So why is conflicts escalate, considering multiple perspectives, respect communication. You go to, and let me know if you see one you'd like me to show you the videos on. Spend as much time as you need me to on that. This one, growth mindset, should be anything remotely related to justice, social justice, and all of that. Recognizing bullying and harassment. Can we just watch what is sexual harassment? Just see that. I'm going to show you that here. So here they kind of define what it is. So sexual harassment is when someone bothers someone else with words, actions, or pictures of a sexual nature. Flirting is welcome attention, it makes you feel good, flattered, or neutral. So it's kind of differentiating between those two. I'll show you this video that has actors. And I'm sure you can see kind of the purpose of that, to differentiate kind of flirting and sexual harassment. This is followed up with a discussion that's led by the teacher. So are these interactions sexual harassment or flirting? Why? You can discuss that with the teacher kind of out of class. And there's a wrap up there at the end. Talk about the effects. First off, it's talking about harassment more broadly than just different forms of harassment across these units. Questions so far? I'll stop for a second.
Any questions?
No questions?
No.
Okay.
Tyler, thank you so much for sharing with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here with us today. Okay.
Of course. So
thank you. The people that we already have in our district, such as Project Positivity and or Positivity Project, they've been talking with them and also with looking at our textbook adoption, which you guys had said, you know, at our last meeting. Is there anything that we can use in our textbook adoption that we're getting for 22-23? And matter of fact, there was a whole section in there, and the counselors reviewed it and gave feedback, and they felt like between those two that we could probably meet our TEKS, so we didn't have to look at another program. Okay. And I also wanted to give you, you asked for a cost analysis of the program, and so I went ahead and put down how much it costs for the year to have these programs. The Project Positivity is, I keep saying Project Positivity, it's Positivity Project. It runs, and this is per campus, it's $14.95 to $19.95 depending on what components you get. And then the Quavar Ed
has SEL components in it, and it's in our textbook that we already adopted and we're already paying for, so that wouldn't cost anything extra for that. And then the second step was $1,258 per year per campus. And the leader in me that, Ms. Fuller, I think you suggested that program, they will not return my phone calls nor my emails. So I don't, and I had heard of it because I had gone to some training on that with Covey. And so I knew that there was a student component of it, but I can't get them to return calls or anything, so I didn't get anything from them.
Well, that's not meant to be then.
Nope, nope.
So second step, though, that's the program that goes with the one the high schools already adopted.
No. The only reason we're even hearing about second step, it's really primary and
ACC. Right. I know the high school has a program.
It's not second step.
I know it's not second step. I thought they were an affiliate. Second step was the affiliation with the high school program.
Mm-mm. No.
No?
Mm-mm. Not to my understanding.
Not
it's
not.
No. Yeah, so, and I think after talking to those four counselors and a couple of the principals, they felt that they're not using Positivity Project to the extent that they could be using it. And they felt like with that one and with the Quavar that it would help meet all the needs.
Okay.
That's kind of why I just kind of stopped him. We didn't need to go any further. But I invited him to come because you guys wanted more information.
Yeah,
so.
I really had some hard questions for
him. Oh, okay. All right, so Mr. Reyes, turn it back over to you.
We'll move on to the next topic, will be Project Turnaround.
And again, I just want to say that Project Turnaround did present the last time we met, and you guys asked for additional information. Reached out to Steve, and he could not be here.
He's not here today, no. He
so we have.
So this is our director.
Yeah, director.
Yeah.
And you were here the last time, weren't you? I thought you were here. Yes.
I brought some coffee.
Oh, excuse me. Could you? They wanted to know what your name was.
I'm sorry. Trish Gunnell.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry. Gunnells. I know. Last time I had some copies. And I only printed five of them because I felt like everyone received them, but I do have copies if you guys want to take a look at.
I still have mine.
Anyone? Anyone else?
Ma'am, can I get you to sit down? Can you sit down? Okay. Thank you. Oh, okay. Okay. Do you need to sit up here on the stage? Oh, okay. All right.
Where are you presenting? I can stand here, or is this okay?
Wherever you want to, wherever's comfortable.
I'm okay.
Okay.
So I don't know if you guys have questions, but I'm with Coastal Bend Wellness Foundation. Like we mentioned before, we have two curriculums, but for this particular county Oasis, we teach two groups of drugs, which is only about alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs. And so when we talk to kindergarten through 12th grade, we talk about managing emotions, we talk about bullying, we talk about making healthy choices as far as peer pressure and so forth. So we don't hint on, I was actually listening to the last presentation, we don't talk about critical race theory or racism. We stick mainly to the topic and which we're funded by the state for. And so funded by the state means that it's no cost to you all. You get a prevention specialist assigned to your school. And the teacher stays in the classroom, and it's really age appropriate. So kindergarten, first grade, if you look through the pamphlets, there's little puppets. So they make it very, very age appropriate for the children. Obviously, when you get more towards high school, our prevention specialists are trained. We all go through 150 hours of training. And I have 10 prevention specialists, but We educate ourselves with information. I know you guys have seen fentanyl and vaping and so forth on the news. And so we make that age appropriate for all of the children. So it's
a 10-week curriculum.
Yes.
They're 45 to an hour depending on age.
Yes.
And then the majority of the lessons are more so, like she said, the managing emotions or social emotional learning. And so it's covered that for like 8 weeks. And then the last two sessions are more so like, hey, this is what a cigarette is, and this is why it's bad for you, and things like that, and kind of the alcohol. So it doesn't really touch on like the drugs per se. It talks about everything else on like how you should be coping in a healthy way. And then, oh, here's the unhealthy stuff that we should not be doing and things like that. So a lot of the stuff that he talked about, you know, it's kind of the stuff that we cover already, but we are actually in the classroom with you to give you that support, you know. So we already know that the teachers have a lot of things on their plate already, and to give them this other lesson and things like that, you know, we are actually in the classroom to help support you as well.
Yeah, one of the things I also like about the curriculum myself, and I always tell my staff, I'm a former college athlete. I grew up in Detroit, and I go, where was this when I was growing up? Because I was exposed to a lot. And then I have my siblings and so forth, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is something that's needed. It's on my level. We get on the kids' level. We actually do innovative things. If you guys have the brochure on the back, we have a media room that we started. So we have computers and monitors where Stephen is figuring out game codes to figure out Minecraft. And so we actually get down on the kids' level to kind of have that discussion about why you should not or how you can go about it and how you address it.
So part of turnaround, more so like the curriculum, that's part of the curriculum. We're here. What she's talking about is other stuff that we do outside of
yes.
the school. So we offer them positive alternatives. We can partner with y'all to come do like events,
Red
if it's Red Ribbon Week or
yeah.
like a positive alternative night where we can do, if you have a PTA meeting, we can come and do like some kind of game or activity geared toward like coping skills or things like that, other kind of things also. So that's kind of like the gaming room is outside of the scope of the curriculum that we do, but we do offer many of the things. We can do parent presentations on like, if it's baby, letting parents know like, hey, this is what you should be looking out for, you know, what your kids' bedrooms and things like that. So
right.
we cover a lot of topics. It's not just the curriculum. The curriculum is great because we're in the school with you. So that's what y'all are covering here, but we also offer so many things
right.
outside of the curriculum as well.
Educating people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do y'all do standalone presentations to like, you know, a group of students or something?
We can, absolutely.
Yes. And what we do is we kind of try to find out what you guys are seeing on campus because we're not on campus.
Yeah.
So if you guys say, you know what, I'll be honest, I got an email about fifth grade and PE. And so the teacher reached out to me. She said, hey, can y'all, yeah, we can. We can come out and talk to the kids. Jonathan is a separate program. But he's actually working with vets to retrieve all of their baby.
Project Hope is a community coalition, and we're geared toward like prevention or tobacco alcohol policy change. And so veterans are trying to collect all the vapes that they've collected from their students. We're trying to find an environmentally safe way to dispose of those vapes
yeah.
because some of them are just on the floor,
yeah.
things like that. So Project Hope is in new programs with Project Turnaround.
Right, and National Take That Day.
Correct,
so.
But your prevention specialist can come do standalone presentations. So we did a baking presentation to Rockland ISD because their baking epidemic is huge over there and they're just catching students left and right. And so we came and did like a tabling event and showed them like, hey, these are healthy lungs, these are unhealthy lungs. Parents did a presentation, hey, this is what vapes look like, this is what you should be looking out for. So can do standalone presentations, the curriculum, you know, presentations, all kinds of things.
So
and
you guys,
you said specifically tobacco, alcohol,
and drugs.
And prescription drugs and other drugs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the base of it. We don't really touch anything really else.
Mm-hmm. And I think the whole, Mr. Reyes, I'm saying this because I know you weren't here the last time. There's a big issue about vaping
yeah.
at SDGC, and Mrs. Martinez was, that's why we have Project Yes Turnaround here, because she needs some help over there with educating the students.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's another thing that we're trying to do also is get into like ISS or what if y'all have DAEP and things like that, instead of just like saying for the students like, hey, this is bad, don't do it. No, like, we're trying to get in and like, this is the reason why you should do it,
yeah.
and educate the students as well. And like,
mm-hmm.
hey, you know, we're catching you with, or you're being caught with this, but this is the reason why.
That's a good point too, because once the kids get caught, if you don't have a policy in place and you want to, you know, get them kicked out of school or whatnot, we're trying to save them so they don't get kicked out of school and they don't miss school. So we've even talked about doing some summer programming, because out of school, you kind of get into things, right?
Yeah.
You need something to occupy you. And so that was one of the things we talked about. Maybe if we did a summer camp and we educate the kids before they actually get on campus, they know the expectation.
Or even partner with like the Boys and Girls Club who's here in Clark Bluff.
Yeah.
And we can talk to those kids in that camp, you know, making sure that there's curriculum for them as well.
Yeah, try to keep them in school as much as possible, especially with COVID being missing school already.
I think that was the main thing for a lot of the other schools, was that the kids were being caught with waves. It's like, oh, you're getting sent to the alternative school. Well, you're missing 2 days to go to the alternative school.
Yeah.
Or 2 days to get in, and then you're there for a week, and then 2 days to get back.
Yeah.
So it's like you missed a whole like week and a half of instruction. And so if we can get in and, you know, instead of sending them to, if it's the alternative school, hey, you have to now attend a lesson on baking and whatnot, and make that a requirement to educate them. And if that's an option for the parents too, you know, hey mom, dad, like they got caught in this, like if you can attend this presentation.
Yeah, instead of detention,
right?
They have to do, there's a consequence to the action.
Exactly.
Like, detention, not stay there for 45 minutes. No, you're gonna watch a 45 minute video or something.
Right.
I do think vaping is huge right now.
It's something I learned from the VA.
And it's going down in the grades.
Cigarette use is going down, but vaping is going up.
Yeah.
And now they're getting younger.
THC, they put in the vape, that is now a felony. So this is one of the pages that I actually had inserted into our brochure. So if there's a different page with the ones that you guys had last time, I thought it was important to kind of say, can you identify how your kids are maybe vaping you? And you have an inhaler, you have an Apple Watch, you have different things that they can now.
Phone cases, they come with, you know, hoodies with the string.
Yeah.
So, but that's a presentation we give to the parents.
Yeah.
You know?
And staff, so staff can identify. My daughter was approached and someone said, hey, you want a puff? And I go, how do y'all just do that in school? And she said, well, it smells like syrup or perfume, like the teacher can't tell.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, and she didn't do it, let me just say.
Thankfully.
But,
any questions?
Any questions?
So we're actually making this. Are we making a decision today?
No, we're not voting today.
Oh, we just.
You guys wanted more information, so I brought them back for more information.
Thanks for being
here. Yeah, and I have a couple more copies if anyone needs.
Oh, I'll take one because mine didn't have the different types of ways to hide things.
Oh.
I did. I did. Thank you. I always love you. Thank you.
Veterans, was you did the Project Hope for the vaping thing?
Rosstown did a vaping week with us with Project Hope and Project Turnaround. Veterans is trying to do some kind of like policy change with the
vaping. How was that received by the students? Has the school reached out to you to say that they've actually seen a decrease or a positive impact?
So we did like a tabling event for veterans only. So the Rosstown one, it just happened last week, so we haven't really heard much on that one yet. And so, but they noticed the kind of the use increasing, like the students were using in the cafeteria, just kind of like passing the
law.
So we went in there and did it during cafeteria time, and we had like I said, all the visuals, so the students were able to see like, you know, a healthy lung and an unhealthy lung, and then just kind of like the buildup of tar and stuff like that. So they were, and a lot of the students were able to ask questions, and the ones that were really interested like came and, you know, some of them who were vaping, it's like, oh, like I vape and I didn't know that or things like that. So
they don't really.
So.
And just to, I kind of brought this up on my phone while I was sitting here. I thought we were going to be in the other building. But you can look up the Too Good for Drugs, which is by the Mendez Foundation and Substance Use Prevention. I love it because it has every sample, well, it has a sample lesson for every grade. So if you want to see kindergarten, first grade, all the way up to high school, you can actually select it and then they'll tell you. You know, the types of games that we play. We literally have board games where it's like, okay, if your mom tells you to do your chores and you decide to go with your friend, is that a good choice, right? So you can find all that online. It's on the National Registry.
I have a question. So are you telling me there's a part that has the curriculum for lessons in the classroom,
with the teacher.
Yes.
Well, and so then there's another aspect that just has programs, like you were saying, you went to Robstown to do a program with parents and so showing the healthy lung and all that.
The first part, you get your prevention specialist that comes with this suitcase full of curriculum and games and you know, the script that he'll read. If it's kindergarten, you may have a puppet. So that's your first part. You get your prevention specialist desk that's for your class schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is curriculum that they actually read. They actually read it.
So let me break it down a little bit more. So three departments need programs. Project Turnaround does curriculum. They can do presentations also, and they can do positive alternative nights. Mm-hmm. So if it's just the curriculum you want, it's Project Turnaround. You can do presentations and all that with them also. Project, and they cover K through 12. Project Hope is 13 and up, and we do presentations and policy change and things like that. So
we have more adults.
And we're more adult and teachers, parents, and things like that. So you can kind of pick and choose what you want to bring. If you want curriculum, we can do that. If you want all of them, we can do that also.
Or if you just want a presentation.
Perfect.
But it's all under the umbrella of Project Turnaround?
Of youth programs. So youth programs. And then we have all our different programs. So
there's actually a breakdown of...
On your sheet, there's an umbrella right now. And then, like you said, everything is absolutely no cost. So we bring incentives, we bring activities, we bring games, things like that. So
we brought incentives last time. Y'all surprised me with this.
Okay.
So, and I have cards if anybody needs and has questions. I follow up if I don't know, then I reach out to the developer and I'll say, hey, you know, can you answer this question? And they're very good at getting back.
We hope to be in Flower Bluff because I used to work for the Boys and Girls Club in Flower Bluff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always said Flower Bluff is a well-oiled machine. I said that with Boys and Girls Club, and they told me that they were coming here. I said,
yeah,
we need to be there. Because
yeah, and I think we used to, Team Project Turnaround was here years ago. Mm-hmm. So same thing.
Love Flower Bluff, so throw that in there.
I have a question real quick.
Yes.
So what is policy change? Can you explain that a little bit?
Right. So policy change for Project Hope specifically, tobacco, alcohol, prescription drugs, we work with different like organizations. So it used to be the smoking age was 18 and they raised it to 21. So that was local coalitions like Texas Save What that other coalitions partnered with to try and work on policy change like that. So alcohol laws, tobacco laws, prescription drug laws. So we just did a national take back day in Claiborne County, where people were turning in old or unwanted or unexpired medications because in our rural counties there's no way to dispose of it.
Yeah.
So we gave them a disposal site and then we took it to the DEA. And so just another example of policy change. Yeah.
And also another one would be card, making sure you check ID when you go into like the store.
So sting operations have been done with us also. We can use like student council and they would partner with the police department and we would try to find convenience stores that were not ID or not carding or things like that. So we can do a lot of different things, you know.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you so much for coming in again. We appreciate it.
It's cold.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's cold.
I have to run, so
bye.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay.
Oh, bye.
All right.
Okay, the next item, you have the cost analysis?
Yes, I handed that out a little bit quicker. Okay. I'm sorry, but you do have it in front of you. Are there any questions about that?
Thank you.
And this was the cost per campus?
Per campus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question about it.
Mm-hmm.
So with the Claiborne, that it's in the textbook adoption, then where would this end up being taught? Would that be picked up then during PE time?
The health. It's in the health book. Yeah, it's
so
in the health book.
Then it would take it out of the where it is now?
Or it could be left there, or say the counselor wants to pull from there, they could pull from there to use for their lessons.
Because like right now we're doing a positivity project in history.
Mm-hmm.
So that would
No, it'd be... We need to talk to the principal.
That's a possibility.
And see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Health isn't required by all students.
No, but it is from, eighth grade on down. It is.
I think they can take other classes in place of it now. Like if you take
it's not a graduation requirement anymore.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Some kids would miss out on SEL support. I think that's
but you guys already have.
We do.
Yes,
do,
math.
With the lower grades.
And that's why we've had this whole big discussion.
Yeah, and I think that's why they had it in social studies, was because every kid's
in social studies.
Yeah.
Well, that's that would be something that would be a discussion with the principal on when to do that. Any other questions about the cost analysis? I will tell you that no local funds are used for this. Okay, so the funds that paid for this were federal funds that paid for that. Okay, so it wasn't any local funds. And I want to make that distinguish because I don't want people to think, oh, you're using my tax dollars to pay for this.
Right.
We're not.
Good point.
No.
Is it federal funds that come annually then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
mm-hmm.
it's not like a source that's going to go away in a couple
no.
years?
No, you're thinking about ESSER that will be gone in 2 years.
Right.
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Next item will be COVID update by Ms. Romo.
Ms. Romo's here.
Good afternoon, everyone. This week at the COVID clinic, we've tested a total of 3 students. We currently have two positive. Well, 2 cases in the whole district. We're doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
So were the 2 positives, were they because you tested them or they were coming from outside?
Outside testing.
Okay.
And we do update the website daily so you can see our current numbers of the positive cases we have in the district.
So I have a question. Do y'all also track like the influenza the same way as COVID? Because I did hear of at least one student who had influenza. Or
no, we basically just do COVID.
That? Okay. Is that because you just have to report it to the county or something? Or
we have to report it to the county, the state.
Okay.
We have to report it to everybody.
Okay.
And next item will be the health beat.
Dawn's not here, so Kristen's
Dawn's not here, so I'm going to just speak briefly to tack on to the COVID. Since we are seeing low numbers, we are looking into possibly updating the recommendations and updating our protocols to go back to more of a normal way of doing things since our numbers are staying low.
And I know the parents will enjoy that because I'm sure they get tired of pulling on that door that's locked and they can't get in. So, except at your campus.
Right. And the regular flu is, yes, still going around.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing a lot of cases of that, but it's not a reportable thing that we report on a daily basis or keep track of. Each nurse kind of keeps track of it just because it's just letting our building know
mm-hmm.
what's going on and that kind of stuff, so we can keep track of also making sure that the custodians are cleaning the rooms and doing stuff like that, just to stay on top of things and
mm-hmm.
to keep our levels low of everything.
Yes.
So, and since I know Dawn wanted to, a big concern with the vaping,
mm-hmm.
and this especially, it's trickling down, unfortunately, to even the low grades. Well, not low grades, but intermediate and above. So she's looking into getting some files and some things, some information out for the students to address
mm-hmm.
the vaping concerns.
I knew it was dribbling down. I knew it's almost like an epidemic at high school. It's
yeah.
horrible at high school.
Yeah.
And I knew it was down at junior high, and then I just heard in the last couple of weeks it was moving down to intermediate too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. So we have an issue here, and we can't put our head in the sand
right.
and say we don't. We do.
Yeah.
We
yes.
need to find some things to help with that. That's my opinion.
Get information out to the students and to the families and the community.
Yeah.
So that's something that Dawn is.
Have we thought about maybe having presentations for our parents to educate our parents? Because it may be going on under their roof and they don't even know it because
right.
it smells so good. And
not only that, but the devices can look like a highlighter.
Yeah. I heard that.
And it's very, as a teacher, it's even hard because if we can't pinpoint who, they were just told there's nothing we can do. And it is bad. You know it's happening and there's nothing you can do about it. It's almost like it's a game for these kids. And the consequences, there is really no consequence. So
I don't think they realize the harmful effects.
They don't.
And
sure.
They're not looking future. They're just looking at the now, and it's cool and it's something neat. They have no idea what.
Well, I think the high school level, there's also not a severe enough consequence. Oh, I'll get a day of ISS.
Right.
I get a vacation day.
Right.
And so they're out of class for a day. The teacher loses instruction with the child. And then, you know what? We just repeat the whole cycle again. And here we are. And you have your frequent flyers. And
do you think it's education of families, for instance, if we had kind of a monthly informational program? I mean, is it something that we need to do regularly to engage the community and the families? It's not just like once a year we're going to have this presentation.
The idea, like they were talking about how they can come out for like Red Ribbon Week. What if they were invited to when we have our open houses or when we're having these events, like they're there with us and like maybe showing parents what these devices look like.
Yeah.
Would help parents kind of be more observant. I mean, it's not going to catch everything, but.
And that's why I was asking him, you know,
what they look like.
I wanted to know, could we have presentations and not have to do curriculum and all of that stuff? Because the presentation, we've got to reach our parents quickly. And I know we need to work with our students, too. Because like you said, that they think it's a game sometimes. And we need to reach them also, but we've got to educate our parents so they'll know what they're looking. They need to be on our team.
Yeah.
They need to be on our team.
And some may not know they're not on the team. You know what I mean?
If you're not,
you don't know, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm. I think most parents do want to be on the team. I mean, you know, they're focused on that. They're just not sure how to get involved. One of the things I was thinking about, too, if we're doing something regularly, like we don't necessarily even have to hold an in-school event or on-campus event, but if there's some sort of presentation regularly that parents can tune into on Zoom or something, I think that we'd get more engagement because parents could be a little more flexible, you know, if they're sitting and waiting at a doctor's appointment or whatever, then they're able to tune in or they're at work on their lunch break.
You're talking more of recording and posting so that they could do it on their own time?
Possibly, and then just continually, you know, informing them. We get emails all the time from the school, and I don't mind them.
But I was thinking even like an email, I mean, when we're just talking about how people can't identify and the parents can't identify because they think it's a highlighter. I mean, we get emails, like you said, we could get emails saying like, you know, this is what we're seeing with vapes or these are the different, you know, ways they're hiding them just so you can reach the parents sooner and quicker. Because the thing is, I think when events are held, people are like, oh, I've got work or I have this. Or, so you're not getting all the parents, but if we could at least get an email or something out there like, hey, these are the pictures of them that provides a little bit of education, and then maybe
regularly email and posting on our website, both, because that's really how parents are now. That's their communication tool.
And they're not trying to arrange, you know, childcare or come in after school. You know, if they can make it, great. But at least you're getting it out there quickly.
That's true.
So I think of getting, you know, especially because people look at their emails or look at Skyward or, you know, that type of thing.
So we just got to find someone that will do a video or something.
She's eyeballing.
Oh. She's done video. Yes, we've definitely done videos. Yeah. I definitely think that that's something we can look at. Something that I haven't really heard a whole lot of, and that's something that I've thought about, is, yeah, these students are doing it because it's what their friends are doing, and it's cool, and it's easily accessible, but we're not thinking about the addiction to the nicotine that a lot of these students are starting to feel. They can't go without vaping because now they're addicted to nicotine and or THC, and then they have the side effects that are coming from all of that stuff. You know, yeah, it's a problem, but we have to think about the addiction stuff too, I feel like. But I will say, we do have George Chapman here, who has done videos with CTE. His students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they helped us video one of our presenters that we had during our presentations for parents. It was one of the licensed therapists from Bayview. She came and gave a presentation, and he helped. His students helped video it, and it is on YouTube. I need to check and make sure that it's available, but even we could post that on social media, but in the terms of vaping, and then also send out an email just to maybe include the link to the video so parents can access. I don't know how ongoing it would be in making sure that the information is continuing to be recycled, but it's definitely something we can think about. I mean, and maybe even Project Turnaround could do the presentation, like be the presenter to show.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. And then you record that.
Yeah.
Right. That way, people who can come can come, and those who can't can access it online.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know if they even covered like the addiction aspect of it. You know, these kids are actually becoming addicted to the nicotine. Mm-hmm. But even like just looking at the devices too, very helpful.
When he talked about the lunch.
I like how he said he brought the lunch to the lunchroom. Yeah. I kind of like that. Yeah. I think it also engages the kids. Like, them seeing it, it's going to draw them there, first off. It's just going to draw them there. They're going to want to go see it. And the next thing they know, they're learning something.
Yeah.
I also think it's good to show parents, too. Yes. I teach medical terminology, which is just a small health science class, and you know, obviously this is a little bit of my curriculum when we talk about the respiratory system, but I tell them anything you bring in here can harm here, and they're just like, what? And I'm like, and we talk about just the air alone can be bad. Like, I talk about lungs from like Los Angeles versus lungs from, you know, like a rural town, you know, that's, you know, mainly agriculture, like how different it is. I think they need to see things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think Project Turnaround, if they're going to other ISDs where there are other schools that are seeing these vaping issues, I mean, well, we're not the only ones.
Yeah.
But
I wonder if we could do like an awareness thing where like we present to students or have like an announcement or something and basically ask, you know, just be that one person and come and turn in your vape. Like, could you be strong enough to come and turn in your vape completely anonymously so they're not getting in trouble for it, but just standing up and then maybe, like, they would start sharing with other students and friends and stuff and seeing.
High school recently went to online announcements, virtual announcements for Chapman, and he's doing just such an amazing job with it. Yeah. What if, you know, SEL or even Project Turnaround or this made little short little skits, you know, that took 30 seconds, but like something like that, you know, like, hey, you can anonymously come to so-and-so and you can turn it in. Be that person, be that one.
Are you talking about the Mental Health Mondays?
Is he doing that still?
I'm not sure. Well, it drifted off, but yes. Alyssa Cano and myself work with the mental health group with Miss Ritchie, and we were doing those skits for a while. You probably saw me in some of
them. Yes, I just think it's so important. Yeah. I mean, I know that sometimes the kids tune out, but if it's there, and not only that, but parents have access to the morning announcements every day.
Yes.
So every parent can go watch our morning announcements. It's there on the Flower Bluff High School YouTube page. And he's doing amazing with from promoting our courses to encouraging kids to disconnect from their devices. So something to look at, to work with.
These are all wonderful ideas.
Yeah,
we need to start doing something. We need to start doing something. Yeah. So what I'm hearing is that we might need to do some videos and put it on our website and put it out through email or pictures or something to make parents aware of what's happening and not just do a face-to-face, but also if we do a face-to-face presentation, put that on our website so anyone can see it at their own leisure. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I'm
yes.
hearing?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's great.
Hey, I made my notes. And I put a star right next to Coach Chapman. And I'm going to tell him.
I mean, I just think it's amazing. I think it's so much better to watch these kids and see them doing this. And it's better than just listening to something over that they don't.
I have watched several of them. And those kiddos, they could leave here and go find a job on TV. They are wonderful.
I mean, there are some days where we have discussions like maybe we should have read the script before we started. But they do a good job.
They really do. Cute.
And not only that, but he's done a great job going around, especially to our CTE courses, interviewing teachers, interviewing mm-hmm. students, encouraging our CTE programs. Showing the kids, especially at the lower grades, what's going on, what are your options here at the mm-hmm. high school, mm-hmm. And adding the SEL parts where we are. And then the nice thank yous for to the teachers was a really nice added bonus. It was really mm-hmm. fun. As a teacher myself, it was really nice to be watching a video, and then all of a sudden I hear my name, and I'm like, somebody thanked me. So it is fun, and it's been a really positive, that has been a very positive part of our second period classes.
Good.
Next item will be nutrition, but I don't see Gina.
Gina was not able to be here with us today.
Do we have any old business that anyone would like to bring up? Anything for other discussion? Make the topic of baby pretty good. That's next meeting will be in the fall, 2022. Mm-hmm. Thanks again, everyone, for being here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll have a motion to adjourn.
I second.
Wait a minute, Kristen. I'm supposed to write all this stuff down for Jennifer. Kristen and then Mrs. Fuller. You know what? We didn't even have a motion to start our meeting.
I wondered about that. I guess I should have done that.
I'm gonna
not wearing
it up to the one of these.
Okay.
You mean we did it, just wasn't recorded, right?
Oh yeah, who was it? Who was that?
Just forgot to push his part.
Oh, okay. So
cannot play.
Oh, Mrs. Purcell.
It was me.
It was you that
I wanted to start the meeting yesterday.
Matt, who seconded? Do you remember?
I didn't.
Oh, it was Mrs. Bledsoe. Okay. Thank you.
When do we get to vote?
Let me stop this.